Good day and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Citizens Chat Conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to your host, Malcolm Hayes. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Brett, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to the second iSeries Nation Citizens Chat of 2004. Today, taking up the whole of the chat is Doug Fulmer, who will be talking about the developer's roadmap. He spoke about this, I think it was last November, and that was one of our best-attended chats ever, so we're doing it again now. And as you know, all these chats are available for replay afterwards, and you can access the audio of this and the presentation material. And in fact, within the next week or so, there'll be a completely new iSeries Nation site, which will have an archived section that you can go to. Instead of listening to it through a phone, you can download or play the audio file. Anyway, more about that at the end. Without any more delay, let me hand over to Doug.
Thank you, Malcolm, and thank you for those of you who are on the phone for taking the time to share this part of the morning with us. If you have the charts, and I hope that you do have the charts, but if you do, you'll find on the very first chart I have put my telephone contact as well as email contact information, and would invite any of you who would like to discuss this further to contact me directly, and I certainly would love to talk to you about any questions that you might have. Then without further ado, let's kind of begin working through the charts. The next chart really gives you the agenda. What I'm going to do today is approach this like a lot of books, where you have a prologue that kind of gives you the quick summary of what's going to be talked about, and then a little bit more detail of what we're going to discuss, and then come back to things. Because what I want to do is, like with Chart 3, which is entitled Developer's Roadmap, just begin to show you the picture of the roadmap. Because to me, that's what this particular picture is. It's a graphical representation of a series of steps and options that are open to iSeries customers. And what I want to begin with emphasizing is that this is not some fixed set of steps that every iSeries developer has to go through. This is not something that IBM is sitting on high saying anybody who doesn't go through all these steps is really in serious trouble and a troglodyte of some sort. What we have, though, on a year-in, year-out, for the last 2 or 3 years basis, is customers and solution providers who come to us and say, we're trying to move to this world of e-business, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way to deploy e-business applications on our iSeries systems, and we're really kind of clueless as to what the steps are. And even if we knew what the steps were, we're kind of clueless. Where do we get the education? What are the kinds of things we ought to be studying to learn this new stuff? So the intent of the developer's roadmap is not to be a fixed, hardened exercise that everybody has to go through. In fact, we expect that a relatively small percentage of our install base will go all the way through all these steps. And, in fact, there will be some new-to-the-platform customers. There were over 2,500 brand new-to-the-platform customers that came last year. Many of them come from the right-hand side of the roadmap and begin moving back to the left-hand side of the roadmap, trying to pick up database skills and security and administration kind of skills. So this is a graphic representation, and you'll see that it's really a pointer to a website where we go back in, we take each of these steps, we lay them out and give you the education, the reading materials, the red books, the kind of things that are available to move through the steps as you choose to move through them. You can enter and exit at all kinds of points. You can enter and leave as many times as you want. But so if you go to the next chart, the easiest way to get there, you'll see that I think you can go directly to the website. But most of us who are iSeries people have the iSeries homepage bookmarked, and right there on that homepage on the lower right-hand corner, you see the little roadmap sign that will point you to the developer's roadmap. So if you're interested in going to the website, which is the real deliverable here, that's the easiest way to get to it. So then let's go to the next chart. And I'd like to kind of begin this almost like a bedtime story, right? This is an evolution of things. If you start back in the 60s with System 3, and some of you probably go that far back. I certainly began my career in the 3X marketplace on System 3s. Things have evolved over the years. We went from card to cardless when we went to the System 32, and then we went from batch to interactive when we went out to the System 34, and then we brought in the advanced architecture of the 38 and the ease of use of the 36, and then we moved to the AS400 in 1988, and then we moved to the I-Series system, which was not just a bigger, better, blacker AS400. It really was built by the I-Series brand to handle the new workloads and the server consolidation kind of things that we're doing in the 21st century. And you know, we have some customers who are completely happy, completely fulfilled, absolutely nothing wrong with it, running their I-Series system as though it was a System 34 with nothing but just, you know, batch report printing. And that's okay. If that fulfills your business requirements, that's just fine. But for some customers and for some particularly solution providers, that really is not enough. I mean, batch printing is not okay. Just green screen is not okay. Because they get pressure from their end users, they get pressure from, if it's an ISV, from competitive solutions who are graphical, and so they have to step up to new things. And if you look at the next chart on devices of the future, I've had several sessions. I'm in New Zealand at this point doing a series of sessions with ISVs and business partners and customers over here, and you know the world has really changed a lot, and especially as you move into e-business. There's this notion of different kinds of clients. It's not just about a green screen. As a matter of fact, it's not even about just a Windows browser anymore. I mean, people are, as you move into e-business, you've got different kinds of clients. You've got PDAs and cell phones and satellite dishes on 18-wheelers. You've got handheld devices that the delivery people are carrying around recording your signature. You've got this whole notion of radio frequency identification of inventory as the boxes slide through the line. It's no longer just the barcodes on the boxes. It's a whole next generation of keeping track of pricing and inventory. I mean, people in space and medicine and defense are beginning to use virtual reality devices and custom devices that are embedded in the hardware, like the refrigerators and hotel rooms that automatically communicate with the front desk that you've taken a Coke out of the refrigerator. So the world of e-business is a fairly rapidly changing world, and it involves devices that we never dreamed of back in the early 70s when I started with IBM as a systems engineer. So in that context, with that as backdrop, you go to the next chart on the evolution of an application, and you see that for certain applications, it's just fine to be sitting there with an RPG or a COBOL program today in a green screen environment. When you've got a call center where it's all about response time, and if you can't get sub-second and nobody cares if it's graphical, then you know RPG and COBOL are wonderful for that on an I-Series system. On the other hand, you know, in some situations, the demand is for a graphical client, and a simple reface may be enough in certain situations, but once you turn to things like customer self-service and commerce applications, even that user interface is probably not attractive enough to compete out there on the web, and so you begin to need to do something beyond just a simple reface of a green screen application, because taking the green and black and putting it into black on gray may not be as glitzy and sexy as what others on other people's websites have, and you have to compete with those in a world of information dissemination via the web and transactions via the web in a lot of cases, not in all, but in a lot. And then you move around to this whole notion of collaborative process, and where, you know, in my case, I've played drums for years and years and years, and when I go out and I'm buying hardware and I'm trying to differentiate between a couple of different devices, it's nice to be able to click on a button and have an instant conversation with one of their tech guys who can walk me through what are the difference between the specs on this pad as opposed to that pad. So it's that whole enhancement of the experience of someone coming in through the Internet, and then you move to the other technologies of the web. And certainly Java and XML and HTML are, in fact, the technologies of the Internet as we know it today. Now, are those the last great technologies? No. And will there be new great technologies? Yes. But those are the ones of today. And part of the positioning behind doing a lot of this is to be prepared for whatever technologies come along next as you move all the way out to wireless and to some of those other clients. So then you go to the next chart, and you look at this phases of e-business adoption notion, and it simply says that as you move to the Internet and as you move to deploying your applications out through the next stage of that development, you go back to those pictures we saw of the systems earlier, and we'd move kind of from inter-batch to interactive. You know, that next growth stage is what I call private to public, where rather than having your own TwinX attached or even LAN attached workstations for intranet applications, that next piece is leveraging the internet rather than having thousands of dollars of lease lines for deploying applications and then reaching out to the public with self-service applications rather than everybody having to call you and your own people key things in. So this notion of moving from simple access to static web pages and publishing through early transactions, then beginning to take your ERP applications and integrate them with that stuff that you've got running out on the web, and then finally begin to do supply chain integration where you integrate with your buyers and your suppliers. You do the B2E, business-to-employee integration of remote employees who are working all over the place. You know, 80% of iSeries customers have multiple locations and people on the run. So it's a whole notion of doing that. Then the next chart of deployment options is, you know, it's a picture of the movement from the AS400 of 1988 to the iSeries box of 2004. And as I said at the very top of the show, not everybody is making this particular move. Some people are just as happy as they can be running the machine exactly as they did in 1988, and if that's accomplishing your business purposes, that's fine. But we do have a lot of people who ask us, you know, they're begging us. I mean, how do I do this stuff? How do I move into this world of e-business? Because I got to go there, and so we try to provide that guidance. So, you know, moving from a world of all RPG green screen with a little bit perhaps of Java Domino to one of the future, which is really today, where you've got RPG and COBOL still there. I mean, certainly they're not going away. Additional enhancements planned for them. But you think of them more in a coexistence environment. You begin to think even of your RPG and your COBOL logic in terms of ways that you might interoperate with other technologies as you deploy to the web and deploy other e-business applications. Very server-centric, very thin client, keeping the control of the applications and minimizing the distribution of object problems by keeping it very server-centric, putting GUIs on the front end of it so that you have a more modern look and feel to the applications. Client-neutral so that as you move from a green screen to a Windows browser to whatever comes next, your application are built so that it makes it as easy as possible for you to make that transition. With Domino for the collaborative aspect, or the other Lotus products for the collaborative aspect of the applications, Java as that cross-platform, cross-vendor, completely neutral kind of layer for integration, and then server consolidation, bringing in applications from Linux and Windows, and then later this year AIX. To be able to bring in applications that maybe is easier to buy than it is to write, and you can find them, but they just don't happen to be written in RPG for now. And so we're trying to open up the opportunities for our customers to have all kinds of applications to make it as easy as possible for them to move into this world of e-business. So the next chart, you see the question that I get on a fairly regular basis. I've talked to hundreds of customers every year, and, you know, the question that comes up a lot is, okay, well, that was fine, but, you know, how do I do that? And you looked at that person, and you say, well, you know, just get our stuff and move forward. And sometimes that's not enough of an answer. You know, people say, no, that was great, but now can you just give me a little bit of detail? So, the next chart, we begin with WebSphere Development Studio Client. I mean, the whole notion of WebSphere Development Studio, which includes the server side, the compiler types of things, the RPG, COBOL, C++, the PDM, SEU, SDA, the tools that customers and ISVs have used forever and ever are all in that WDS piece. Then with the client, which is the workstation side of the equation that comes with it, we move into the graphical Windows tool. You know, another thing that we hear all the time is, you know, gee, you guys in iSeries are still using, you know, green screen tools when the rest of the world is moving to graphical. Why shouldn't I just use Microsoft tools to do this stuff? Because they've got nice graphical tools. Well, the fact of the matter is that several years ago, the Toronto Lab responded, and I don't work for the Toronto Lab, but I think they responded wonderfully to that challenge and have made a great deal of progress in the area of tools with this whole notion of WebSphere Development Studio. It's priced very aggressively. It's very thorough in its content. You know, we've taken the Eclipse workbench that now is called the WebSphere Studio workbench and the basic foundation that's in there, the debuggers and the editing frameworks, the homepage builder, the JSP and service, simple XML kinds of things that are in WebSphere Studio Word that was called Site Developer, and put that all into what we call WebSphere Development Studio for iSeries, adding to it some iSeries enhancements like the web-facing tool and the ability to interface to data queues and data areas and other things that are iSeries unique. Then the next generation of that was to move into the types of things that are included in WebSphere Studio Application Developer, where you have support for Enterprise, Java Beans, for Java messaging and things like that. And again, making a superset of that where we include the ability to work with spool files and use struts to combine your existing web-based applications along with new applications you may create. And again, to make it easier for iSeries developers to move forward. So even if you're just working on green screen applications, if your world is just fine with batch and green screen, there's nothing at all wrong with that. But even then, moving to the Windows tool set, the Webster Development Studio really can begin to pay dividends for you, gives you graphical tools to begin working with, takes a lot of that compile and debug and edit kind of cycles off of your production machine, moves it out to a workstation where the hardware is less expensive, gives you some nicer interfaces to the applications. You look at the next two or three charts and you see the basic remote systems explorer view where you can drill down into the particular system, because you may be in a multi-system shop. Most of our install customers have more than one system. So you drill down into the system that you're after. You begin to drill down into the library, finally get to the source member you want to edit and bring it up. And now you're using basically what you would have thought of as SEU, but now it's in a graphical context, whereas you begin to work on individual lines of code. You try to do individual option or operations and on that source code. It's all a great deal more powerful because of the functionality that comes with the debugger. Now, this shows working on some traditional specs. The next chart, same interface or new, shows, okay, now I've made the transition from working on standard DDS to I want to work on some Java applications. And in that frame of reference, you're still looking at basically the same interfaces, the same remote systems explorer view. You've opened up a little bit of a different context where now you have an outline view that shows up over there. You begin to have some shell that opens up in a different window where you're doing a little bit of different operation on the code that would be more typical of a Java application, or you're working on a JSP, you're working on HTML. The different windows open up that are in context with the type of application you're working on. You begin to have, if you look at the next chart, when you use your right mouse button or you use the menus that are there for dropping down, all of the tools you would expect for working on those types of objects are available to you. So you begin working with a whole new set of tools that helps you, in some cases, make a great quantum leap forward in the kinds of things and the speed with which you can do them to your applications, regardless of the language. The next chart shows you what I call the smiley face formula. Our customers have asked us over and over and over, how do we combine our green screen applications, our iSeries access or client access, as many of you may know it, how do we begin to move into this world of WebSphere application server, and how do we do it efficiently as well as without spending arms and legs? And this is the formula that really reflects what we've done from an iSeries perspective. If you look at all the wonderful tooling that's in WebSphere Development Studio, which is tier priced on iSeries, which means unlimited developers with the ability to deploy those applications to multiple systems, combined with what we put into iSeries Access for the web, where we take a limited edition version of HATS, and we still have Host Publisher in there. So tools for refacing along with the web-facing tool that's in the WebSphere Development Studio. And then all that built on a foundation of the WebSphere application server that in our Enterprise Edition and the Advanced Edition on the A10 all comes free. Comes free to you as you buy the box. So we're trying to make it as financially attractive as we can, to make it as simple as possible to get as many tools as you can so that you have options on how to build your applications. So again, whether they're green screen or not, you go to the next chart and you see the suggested path that we would put forward to you in terms of if you're trying to modernize your interfaces. You know, what are the steps you really ought to go through? Because you start with your basic original 5250 green screen application. You drop it off perhaps into an emulator rather than having a non-programmable, or some people would call them dumb terminals. But you at least move them into an emulator. Then you move them forward with a refacing type of operation where you're still, it's basically the same content deployed in a graphical format of some sort, but your command and control, your function and navigation of the application is still controlled with function keys, and the terminology still says function keys, and that's perfectly fine for an internal application. But as you begin to take that application and try to reface it and then deploy it to the internet, to your suppliers, to your customers, people who are used to using a browser, this notion of command key is the only function key they are really used to using is F1 for help. So you need to move to the next step, which is this notion of improving that interface, where you begin to take that navigation and convert it into graphical buttons that say close or cancel or things that are more normal to them. And then the next stage is this notion of integrating additional function to the application, where without changing one line of code in a green screen application, you add calculators and calendars and other widgets to do things like database access and add graphs to the desktop without changing, again, anything back in your underlying application. So you're beginning to, from the user interface out, make enhancements to that web-delivered application, that browser-delivered application, but at the same time maintaining your RPG or COBOL business logic, which may continue for the entire duration of your time with an iSeries, be the absolute best language to deploy that in. And then the next stage that we've really, I guess, begun to press down more on in the last year or so is this whole notion of innovation through Portal Surfer, which is the next step. I mean, you take those applications that you've put into a graphical interface, you've added function at the user interface, and now you begin to deliver them to the end user in an individually customized mode where the end user can set their color scheme, set the applications that they want or need to see, set the position on the page so that it's attractive to them, and they can come directly to that page and use the applications they need and just move across that whole spectrum of user interface improvements. So if you try to put that back in context, what we've talked about so far of the roadmap, we kind of move from basic green screen kinds of things with batch report writing perhaps to adding better tools to that, where we're now using the WebSphere Development Studio client product set for the tooling, and we've even moved into the point of improving the interface itself. So now we're moving around to a GUI, working all our way up across through implementing that through the portal server, and kind of working our way across the developer's roadmap. If you look at the next chart, you see just a quick picture of the web-facing workflow, and it's important to kind of get the drift of that. And it's, you know, this is a picture of web-facing, but the idea is the same regardless of whether you're talking about web-facing or Hatch, or you're talking about some of our partners' tools, because there's a bunch of our business partners that also have tools that you can use along the stages of the roadmap. It's not just about IBM tooling. We happen to, on our website, be focused on the IBM aspects of it right now just because it's a lot easier for us to be sure that we have the right specs and where things belong and can certify that they really are available and those kinds of things. But the drift of this web-facing flow chart is that you take where you are today with your RPG and your SDA working against DDS, and what web-facing does then is convert that DDS and creates artifacts that are usable on the web. It creates Java server pages with the JavaScript and HTML that are required for the application, a basic servlet that drives that and interacts with the RPG runtime, and some Java beans to move the data back and forth, and then you publish that as an enterprise archive or an ear file out into your WebSphere application server. And at runtime, you can either then go to a dumb terminal with the application if that's what a particular end user happens to be using, or you can deliver that out to a browser. And then the interesting point here is that, again, trying to move forward with technology, if that's where you're trying to go, you can go back and work on the DDS with SDA, continue to do things as you've always done, and just simply reconvert those screens. Or you have the option of taking the web and the Java tooling that's in WebSphere Development Studio client and working directly on those Java server pages, directly on that servlet to do those things we saw earlier, the enhancement of the application from the user interface out. And now what you're beginning to do is move even farther down that road. I mean, you've still got that basic underlying RPG COBOL logic, which gives you very good performance on an iSeries. You've moved beyond a simple change of the user interface to better interfaces. You're beginning to move to what are probably some better architecture if you're trying to move forward with e-business applications, trying to adopt the technologies of the web. Because now in this notion of better architecture, you're working with Java server pages, you're working with servlets, and you haven't had to learn all of the stuff of OO to work on this. I mean, it's not like you've had to make a leap to rocket science to move forward. You know, the next chart then shows me, it's my little ant picture. I love my little ants. And then the people would say, okay, that's fine, but now can you give me just a little bit more detail here in terms of, you know, when would we even, what's at what stage would we adopt this stuff? So the next chart then begins to, and this one, if you're looking at it or you're printed, there's a little bit of an overlay on it. When I use it in presentation mode, some things layer in, and you can't see a few of them here, but the drift of it you'll get just fine. And I call it the baby steps approach. You know, even if you're up there in the kind of the upper center part where the guy in the glasses is pounding away on his terminal, that you may even still be twin axis attached terminals, and that's okay. But even there are things you ought to be doing to move forward now through this roadmap. You ought to be moving to version 5 so that you're getting all the function of OS 400 that's available to you. You ought to be moving to ILE, RPG, and COBOL, moving to service programs and beginning to position yourself so that if you want to keep that as your business logic, which is just fine to do, that you can use that RPG logic and then interface to other languages. Maybe it's Java today. Who knows what will come next? But, you know, certainly Java is not the last great thought. But the point is you're positioning yourself for the maximum flexibility in terms of what you want to do with your applications. And it's at that point even that you still ought to begin looking at WebSphere Development Studio Client, beginning to move into the better tools stage of things where you're using that graphical interface and beginning to pull the power of that together. The second step that most people go through is the little ball down kind of lower left around 7 o'clock that says rephase existing apps. As you begin to have network-attached users, and they're kind of have an expectation of a graphical user interface. So here you begin to move to the WebSphere Application Server Express, partly because of the fact that in the IBM paradigm, hats and web-facing, for instance, require that. So if you're going to move to those refacing tools, then you'd have that there. You might move to the telephone directory application that we provide free along with the WebSphere application server, so that you have another opportunity to drop an application in there, begin to use it, begin to play with that, explore techniques that a graphical application might use, and you can even explore how it's installed and used. So you begin to move to some of the better user interface sides of things. You begin to look at the navigation and the functionality of your applications, because it's critical at that point that you really do take a look at it without a biased eye. I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, now is the function of this application really okay? And if the answer to that is yes, then moving through the other stages of the roadmap, if you choose to go there, you may very well just stay with the RPG and COBOL logic that's there. But if you look at that application and you go, man, this, you know, the function and logic of this really isn't up to speed, then there's no sense even moving to the better user interface side with that application, because at that point you really are putting lipstick on a pig as opposed to taking valuable business logic forward and putting a better user interface on it. But so you begin looking at it. And also at that point is where you can, without a lot of pain and effort, begin looking at HTML and Java and learning about it at the user interface level without having to go through the pain of saying, gee, I'm going to rewrite all this stuff in Java, which you know, we have a lot of customers that simply don't have the time to do all that at this point. So you kind of begin to move to that point. The next stage is the one that's covered up a little bit. You see the words client integration over kind of at a 3 o'clock kind of hand on the clock. And that's the next stage that I think a lot of our customers are beginning to move to, and that is, it's beyond just putting a GUI on the existing applications, but it's not complete let's go do OO kind of stuff. I mean, it's better user interfaces, but it's beginning to move into the better architecture side of the equation where, you know, instead of sending out reports by paper, green bar paper, heaven forbid, maybe, or even, you know, we've moved to the crisp 8.5x11, or if you're in other parts of the world, A4 paper, and sending those reports out. But the expectation of an integrated client in the world of more sophisticated end users is, you know, they don't want to see paper. They want to see PDF. They want to see comma-separated variable that they can import into their spreadsheet. So you begin to look at products that allow you to distribute that print more effectively, more electronically, to be able to deliver it in ways that those end users can take with them if they want to, or look at from home if that's something they want to do in their off hours. So products like InfoPrint Server Designer is the IBM product there, and then again there are a number of business partner products there. You know, looking at new ways to enable queries and integrate email with Notes and the iNotes interface didn't let you use your Outlook client but stay with Notes as the server on the back end. To look at the collaborative messaging aspect of it, what was called Same Time before that now is called Lotus Instant Messaging. So you begin to incorporate that even for intranet applications before you start moving forward, and perhaps server consolidation. So you're moving toward, but you've moved beyond simple user interface enhancements. You're moving to better architectures that, in fact, become more portable as you look at, gee, what happens, you know, what happens if my, and portability here is not just about what if I change my server. Portability is what if I change my client. What do I lock myself into here? Then the next stage that a lot of our customers go to is that upper right-hand corner where you begin to tap the web and you start thinking about WebSphere business integration. And, you know, this whole notion of how do I, if I'm a supplier to Walmart and they've told me that I must use AS2 and I must use XML to do item synchronization with them, you know, how am I going to do that? Am I going to write all that myself? And but because that simply is the architecture that they require. And then our WebSphere business integration item synchronization product, or Lansa has a great product for doing that with their integration software. There's tools for doing that that are also moving you forward into better architectures. If you have to do interoperability, WebSphere MQ, and then commerce, and at some point you begin to move and you start thinking about this whole notion of better scalability. And gosh, I'm a large enterprise customer, and I've really got to figure out how do I scale this stuff. And moving toward full Java 2 Enterprise Edition and the architecture that it brings is the really the right thing to do for large scale browser deployed internet provided applications. And so you move past WebSphere Application Server Express, you move to base or network deployment. And then the next step for a lot of customers is over what under the ball called Think New Function, where now you've moved to 7x24x365, but, you know, gosh, if you're going to do that, you better have the high availability infrastructure underneath it to support it. So it gives you kind of a baby steps view of how you do it. You go to the next chart, and just quickly walk our way through some of the tools that you deploy at some of these steps. I mean, if you're looking at better user interfaces, there are several choices just among the IBM tools. One is the web-facing tool. It's part of WebSphere Development Studio Client. It's essentially no additional charge to you. It gives you a way to take your existing applications, put a graphical front end on them very easily, then go back, as we saw in the earlier chart, work on those web artifacts, make enhancements to the applications, stay with the RPG or COBOL business logic if you want to, change from the user interface out. And in the newer systems, it also helps eliminate the interactive workload on that hardware, so that in the event that your goal is to move towards standard edition to reduce your OS 400 expense, then certainly you can use the web-facing tool to help move in that direction. The next chart then shows you a quick look at our Host Access Transformation Services product. Another tool from this one from the Raleigh Lab, that has been packaged in the host integration solution, now is available as HAPS for iSeries. And then we're working on some other ways to consolidate this with web-facing in our WebSphere Development Studio, again, to make it easier for our customers to reface existing applications, put some of the high-function GUI things like the graphs and the widgets for calculators and calendars into the applications very, very simply without having to go write a bunch of Java code to do that. So another tool to reface. And then the other option there is iSeries Access for the web. And all three of those tools, today, you can deposit into portlets into the portal server if you choose to. So using those IBM tools, and people like Seagull, Jakarta, Look Software with New Look, Arterial Software is a product called Axes, that all partner products that allow you to do this new user interface as well. BCD has a product called Nexus. It's a portal server. So if you happen to be on a lower CPW iSeries machine or AS400 that just simply doesn't have the horsepower to run WebSphere, that doesn't mean you can't move forward into these new interfaces, the better user interfaces, the better architectures that allow you to deploy the e-business applications of the future. The next chart shows you a quick view of the IBM portal server where you provide that browser easy for you to say when you're not in New Zealand, here I am confused, the browser-based input with multiple applications deployed on that desktop with a single sign-on, allowing you to bring in access to applications that may be some that you've written. In fact, maybe applications that you have purchased or have a lease agreement with where you can, for price, include the stock tickers and the weather applications and other things that may be more pertinent to your business requirements onto your portal page without ever having to write those. You just simply buy them and incorporate them into your content that the end users can then customize to their own requirements and give, you know, better user interfaces, but moving to better architectures that may be more appropriate for web-deployed e-business kinds of applications. The next chart then focuses back on InfoPrint and its ability to not only just take the output of an RPG application or a COBOL application, automatically put it into PDF, distribute it to people via distribution list, but also the advanced function print functionality that's there where I can do forms and overlays and create those and drive them into a PDF format. So it gives you some great facilities in that area. The next chart then moves on to the WebSphere Business Integration, the item synchronization, this whole UCCNet notion where several of the large retail vendors in America, starting in America, it's kind of moving toward Europe where there's a standards organization over there that's beginning to work with the group in America that set the standards for UCCNet so that it will rapidly become a worldwide standard as well. And so how do you manage to that set of technologies without having to write it all yourself? And again, WebSphere Business Integration helps you do that. And then the next couple of charts begin to look at Domino and the types of things that Domino can bring with Lotus Instant Messaging. And so at this point, in the next chart, you're kind of feeling better. You're saying, okay, I'm beginning to get the drift. This isn't some kind of forced march from RPG to Java. This is just about how can I begin to move into this world of e-business and the kinds of applications and interfaces that are required. But can you give me, you know, is there a method to this madness? And that's where we come back to the roadmap. And I really didn't want to start with the roadmap because too often when people see that, they think, oh, gosh, IBM, tell me it's give me the roadmap or give me death. And that's really not the intent of the roadmap. The intent is to help you grapple with all that stuff that we just worked our way through. Where, you know, if you're in green screen RPG COBOL today and you'd like to move toward better tools, then you know, you certainly need to be moving to ILE on your RPG and COBOL. You need to be moving to WebSphere Development Studio on your tools. You don't have to. You can stay with PDM if you'd like to, but moving to those graphical tools as a general rule is a very positive thing to do. To begin to use the enhanced features of DB2, I mean, to move to stored procedures and triggers and referential integrity, then as you move toward better user interface, using the iSeries Access for the Web, the web-facing tool, HATS, you know, other partner products that are out there, and beginning to bring in the WebSphere Application Server Express to that equation, and moving into architectures that may be more appropriate for long-term deployment of applications via the Internet, now you bring in web services to the equation, and you put that layer between the browser, which happens to be your web client today, and who knows what that client may be in the future. So your business logic at that point may still be RPG, and that's just fine. You can encapsulate that RPG via web services and deploy that out as an e-business platform, or if you want to change that underlying business logic into Java, that's fine. You can do that as well. And in some cases at that point, now you're moving you're perhaps writing new application function that you want to write from scratch with web tools, the HTML and the Java tools that are in the WebSphere Development Studio. And at that point, you may be moving toward incorporating the portal product into things. And you move to better portability, and the portability issue comes from two sides. For an ISV, a solution provider, it's about the applications and the ability to market them across multiple platforms, not because they're talking about leaving the iSeries, but because they need to make more money like everybody else does, and they need multiple platforms to deploy to. So a pure Java foundation gives them the ability to do that. You know, for somebody who's a customer who's not trying to sell their application, that portability may not be all that important. They can stay with RPG under that if they like, if that's where their skills are. The other thing for an enterprise customer that's important from the portability aspect of things is that Java is, in fact, more portable across multiple platforms. So if I've got some Unix systems and some iSeries systems and some PCs and maybe even a Z-Series system, I can take those programming skills and they're portable across all those platforms rather than just usable on an iSeries platform. I can get more out of my programming dollar. And then finally you move toward better scalability. Typically, the enterprise customer goes there, although if you look at the people who are new to the iSeries, that are coming, you know, brand new to this platform, a lot of those folks have no clue what RPG or COBOL is. I mean, they've grown up with RPG. They're the ones that kind of enter on the right-hand side, and, you know, they've got SQL skills. They need to start learning a little bit about OS400, learning a little bit about security administration, DB2 on iSeries, and they're kind of meeting the RPG programmer in the middle. In fact, I've met with a bunch of business partners on this current trip that I'm on, and their notion is that they hire some new people, new kids into the business who have no clue what RPG is. They know what Java is, and they kind of pair them off with their more seasoned veteran RPG programmers, and they begin to mentor each other where it becomes a learning exercise for both sides of the family, and they begin to work together on common projects rather than competing. So then the next three charts, you take a quick look at the website, and you see the URL down at the bottom of that website. Again, the easiest way to get there may be to go to the iSeries homepage and work your way back from there. But you can start with the roadmap description, the simple overview, the description gives you for each one of the steps in that roadmap. What are we really trying to say by that particular stage of the development. You know, what do we mean by better architecture? What do we mean by better tools? And then you can drill down underneath that to get the specific value proposition. What's the value to doing that? You know, what does the stage look like? And finally, drill down to the learning path stage, where you really see the specific content that's in there. And over time, we really got to do a lot more work on this part of it, where we get more than just the IBM content, because it's certainly not our intent just to limit it to IBM. But that's where if I'm at better tools, I'm thinking better user interfaces. Well, what are the red books I ought to be looking at? What are the courses IBM has available to help me learn to do that? What are the things I can get from the web? What are the computer-based training that's available to me to help me do this? I don't have time to go off to school. I don't have my business won't fund me going off to school. How do I do this stuff? Then the next chart, you know, hopefully at this point you're going, this is better. You know, what about non-IBM tools? Are they appropriate for this roadmap? Is this the only roadmap? And the answer is, you know, there are an infinite number of variations to the roadmap. But at some point, from an iSeries brand perspective, you know, we had to say, and we started this about a year ago. This is not something that's brand new. You know, a year ago we started working on this, trying to provide this guidance, and it does, in fact, there are all kinds of partners and products. If you look through the next three or four charts from the application server, where you've got Tomcat, you've got JBoss, that are entirely appropriate if you're on a lower CPW machine where you can't run WebSphere, it's still entirely appropriate for you to be moving forward to better user interfaces and better architectures for e-business applications, and there are options there. Under refacing solutions, there are a number of our partners, and this is just a sample of the ones that are out there that have tools for moving to the better user interface side of the equation. Then for tools that you can use, I mean, we certainly WebSphere Development Studio, from an iSeries brand perspective, is our strategic tool set, but you may decide that, you know, I'm really more interested in a 4GL kind of product where I don't have to mess with the underlying technology at all. And if that's your preference, then there are a number of our partners that have really, really good tools for creating the e-business applications of the future. And at that point, you don't care whether it's Java or RPG at all. You're just working with the design and the model, and it'll generate the applications for you. Then there are, under print solutions, there are a number of IBM's business partners that have products to help you with creation of electronic and distributed print rather than reports to help you move forward in that particular area. And then the next chart gives you the domino solutions. Again, these are just samples of tools that you can use. If your world is domino for e-business rather than WebSphere, then tools that you can deploy there. Again, trying to help you move across that whole span of things you need to do to really work up into the world of e-business. So with that, Brett, I think the idea is that we'll turn it over to you. You get some things you need to do, and then let's come back and see if there's any questions from the audience.
Thank you, Doug. At this time, we'd like to conduct a brief electronic survey. You may respond to the survey by pressing the star key, followed by the number on your telephone keypad that corresponds to your choice. And our question for today is, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Doug's chat today? If you found his chat very valuable, press star 1. If you found it valuable, press star 2. To respond somewhat valuable, press star 3. And to respond of no value, press star 4. And we'll pause for a moment. And that does conclude our survey today. At this point, we'd like to take questions from our telephone audience. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you may signal us by pressing the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. We'll take as many questions as time permits today. Once again, press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. And we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take a question today from Don Rima. Please go ahead.
Hey, Doug, other alternatives for learning this stuff, especially if your boss won't send you to Common or tech conferences like that, is your local user group.
Absolutely. I mean, there are. I mean, again, the intent of my point earlier, there are multiple ways to learn. There are great opportunities in local user groups, and certainly beginning to learn some of these new kinds of things can, in fact, invigorate some of the local user groups that have, in some cases, I mean, I speak at user groups all the time, and in some cases, some of those user groups you know, if you look at them, they've gotten kind of tired of talking about the same things. And these really give them opportunities to bring in new technologies, new things to talk about, to work together on projects. That's absolutely a great use of the local user groups, as well as things like web-based and computer-based training.
One of the things we're doing here in Washington, D.C., is we're doing one-day seminars. And we've got Klaus coming down specifically doing Java and WebSphere here, as a matter of fact, next week. So
yep.
that's fitting in very well.
Absolutely. And when you have user groups, I mean, you've got Klaus coming to yours. I mean, any of the folks that are on the phone, if they have user groups and would like to have us come and talk about the roadmap or come in and talk about the tools, I've done the same thing with a number of user groups. We've done things. Don Yancey's a guy from the lab up in Toronto that is on a number of occasions. He and I've worked together where he just connects remotely if there's a travel expense limitation and where we can sit down with a user group and go through this stuff. And it's a very beneficial exercise almost every time.
What we try to do is when we bring somebody in like Klaus or Paris or Allison is to try to get them to do the same presentation over multiple areas. And so we're doing the same thing in Richmond, Washington, and up in the Delaware Valley with Philadelphia with cooperation with the Delaware Valley Users Group.
Yep.
Doing the same Java, WebSphere, RPG, hit the ground running, integration. It looks like it's really going to be a good day.
Yep. That's a great idea.
Anything further, sir?
No, I'm done.
Thank you. Moving on, we'll now take a question from Carolyn Karolitz. And once again, it's star one to ask her question today. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I have an application that's quite old on a green screen that users dial in to see, and it just displays their account information.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget people, don't want to spend money improving this, although we've proposed it. So we've been – originally they dialed in the very, very old means of Vanda's Passport, and we switched them over to Host on Demand, which you're no longer supporting. And I tried to get to the application through iSeries Access for Web, and it didn't work at all. It just – and it's a kind of awkward – but it's only a display. You know, you press a command key and you go to another screen and so forth. And it just,
is this externally described screen formats, or is this program described old RPG-2 logic?
It's RPG-3 and 4. And
so you're using external DDS for the
yes.
screen formats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's number one, host on demand you can still use. Number two, that application should, without any trouble, work with iSeries Access to the Web if that's what you'd like to use. If you're having trouble with that, if you'll contact me using the information on that first page of the presentation,
okay,
I will get back with you and we'll figure out what your problem is on why that won't work. Because if it's a standard external display. The one thing that does from time to time generate a problem is if what you're doing is sending a pre-formatted and output specifications, you know, what to the external display is a single field, and you're just trying to pre-format all the fields inside the output buffer and send it out. Are you doing that? Do you know?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. We select a series of accounts depending on who signed on. We look up and see which ones they should see,
yeah.
and then we display them.
Yeah, let's do this. If you'll just send me an email, give me a call, and let me work with you individually, because there's no reason in the world that the application you're talking about wouldn't work just fine with iSeries Access for the Web, which would be a very low-cost or no-cost probably opportunity for you to do that. Now, you do need to be at version 5 to be getting good results.
Sorry.
Are you at version 5 of OS 100?
5.2. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you should have a call. Give me a call and do this. If you would... I mean, like I said earlier, I'm in New Zealand right now. I'm in the middle of 3 weeks of travel in Asia, and I'll get back home at the end of next week.
Okay.
If you'll send me an email, I'll try to connect you to somebody right away before I get back. So email rather than a phone call might be better, not because I wouldn't love to talk to you, but just because I can help you faster if you'll send me an email at this point in time.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And moving on, we'll take a question from Larry Kleinman.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Hi, Larry.
Real quick question. I think I remember reading someplace that there's a gotcha with web-facing for RPG-2 System 36 stuff. Was that what you were just referring to in the last call? The last question?
Well, yeah, I was asking whether she was back with RPG, because there are a few things that were early on with web-facing There were some challenges that the web-based had handling some of the line 24 things, and some of it, if you pre-formatted the data into a single, what looked like a big buffer that you just pumped out as one field, there were some challenges, although even those have with version 5, one of the tools have been fixed, but there were some of those. But she was talking about iSeries Access for the web, which in a simple application, and none of our refacing tools she have a problem with at all. If she's current on the tools and if she's current on OS400, so we can help her fix that.
My question, which I think you just answered, is that there are no longer issues about web facing an RPG2 application.
Well, there are, you know, there is a web page you can go to for the web facing tool where you can do the DDS analysis, because there still are some keywords that are typically the ones that are related to a specific hardware non-programmable terminal device that may still yet not be supported under web facing. But for the most part, if you look at the current version of the web facing tool, it'll handle virtually anything you want to throw at it.
Okay.
And if you happen to hit a, you know, there's a couple situations where web facing is not really the best tool. Like, for instance, you don't have the DDS source at all. It's some application that you've purchased, or the fact that you need to incorporate some of the user interface panels coming out of OS400, which you obviously don't have the source for.
No, that's a whole different story.
That's a whole different story. But right. In that situation, then you begin to look at iSeries Access. You look at HATS. You look at some of the partner products that are out there.
But a customer asked me this question yesterday. It's S&D Spectrum, and it's all old RPG2 stuff, but they have all the source. So we should be able to web-face that for them?
You should be able to web-face that.
Okay. Great.
And then certainly if there's any problems at all with the specific implement, you know, without looking at exactly what they're doing, saying always and never.
Oh, no, I'm not asking for a guarantee. I just want to make sure you don't go, oh, no, don't even try to do that.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, there are some challenges because you need external screen formats for this to really give you your best result with web facing. If you don't have external screen formats, you may be better off looking at HATS.
Okay. But you'd have external
screen
formats.
If you're using external screen formats, then you're okay with web facing.
Well, they're running in the 36 environment, which means that, you know, the migration aid 10 years ago when they ran this thing converted to S&D2.
Converted them to screen formats, correct.
Right, so they're all display files.
Yep.
So, all right, I mean, I'm going to attempt to.
Again, if you've got a particular challenge, something, you'll send me an email or whatever, then I'll be glad to work with you on whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doug.
Okay.
And before moving on, once again, it's *1 on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. Malcolm, have you received any questions electronically?
Yeah, in fact, I had an email come in. In fact, it was yesterday, Doug. We know we sent out invitations to today's chat, and somebody sent back an email commenting on it. Do you want me to get it read out to you?
Yeah, let's hear this electronic message.
Okay.
I am of the opinion that this chat does a disservice to the iCitizens. The iCitizens have patiently been paying the interactive tax, not because they are stupid, but because Java is stupid, when proposed as the only right way to go. There are some RPG shops that want to move to Java, but that doesn't require a roadmap laid in steel bar reinforced concrete.
I think that's it.
Well, I think that, you know, everybody, this kind of stuff, I mean, when you're dealing with people's programming preferences, it's kind of like questioning their religion in some cases, and emotions can run high, and certainly there are a wide diversity of views on this subject. I mean, again, dealing with as many customers as I see day in and day out, you know, some customers, when I talk about the roadmap, just go, man, this is wonderful, and others would like to just chew my head off. But if you go back to his comments, there's no way that our intent is that this is the one way, this is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way that you can do this to modernize your applications. It is a suggested set of steps that the iSeries brand has, and we've worked with Toronto and Rochester and tried to put together a pathway that would be the suggested path for customers to go. If they find a different set of steps, a different set of tools that are more appropriate for them, then that's fine. But it's a response to this question that I've heard so many times in the last 3 or 4 years of, you know, how do I do this? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. So we've put down on paper and on the web our suggested pathway, and it's a set of options that people can use. And it's not set in stone or concrete. It's designed to be flexible. It's not intended to be the only possible way you can do it. It's not intended to say that everybody needs to go from the Today column to the Better Scalability column. And the fact of the matter is, I doubt that more than just 3 or 4% or 5% of our install base, at least right now, is interested in doing that. The vast majority of our install base is really typically focused more back in the better tools, better user interface, you know, beginning to look at some of the better architectures with portal server stages of things. But if we don't provide guidance, then we leave our customers and our ISVs with a position where they're not quite sure how to proceed, and the world of e-business can swamp them if we don't do that. So that's the intent.
Okay, let me just see if that was okay.
Thank you very much, Doug. Now I understand.
That seems okay.
That was really interactive, Malcolm.
Yeah, well, it's amazing what this... I've actually got another thing, though. It's coming through Instant Messenger. Do you have any more questions at the moment on the phone, Brett?
Not at this point, Malcolm.
Okay, let me get this Instant Messenger one. Here goes.
Why is there such a big push on the roadmap all of a sudden? Smiley face,
winking
smiley face.
Okay, I like the smiley face on the end of it. It's not like there's a big push all of a sudden. I mean, I know that to some people it seems like it's all of a sudden because maybe this is the first time they're hearing it, but this is a topic that we have, you know, Allison Butterell and George Farr and Phil Coulthard, the folks from Toronto and the Rochester team and I and others have been talking about these general steps now for 4 or 5 years. We finally put it down on paper and electronically on the web as an e-business deployment back about, I guess, starting in about June of last year. So it's not something that's brand new, there's a big push on. It's just that we are trying, you know, Al Zoller kicked it off at Common last year in the spring Common. We're trying to get the message out so that customers see that we're trying to respond to the questions that they're asking. But it's not like it's a giant push that's all of a sudden cropped up on the landscape. It just may seem that way to some individuals because it may be the first time that they've seen it, and they're seeing it from multiple sources all of a sudden.
Okay. Thanks. There's I got another one here. I think we covered a bit of this. It says, does this roadmap mean iSeries are going to move away from support for RPG and COBOL?
The answer to that one's no. We couldn't. Moving away from support for RPG and COBOL would be the equivalent of signing the death warrant of the platform, which we're not going to do that. I know that there are some people that perhaps have that fear, but there's no way that's going to happen. We are going to embrace new technologies. We are going to embrace Java and XML and HTML and all the technologies of the future. And any customer that would expect us not to embrace those is just not looking very far into the future. You can't be a competitive platform in the marketplace without embracing the new technologies that are out there. But that doesn't, for a heartbeat, mean that you're going to leave behind the technologies of the foundation and the bedrock of your whole install base.
The other one I have, Doug, is, will the roadmap lead to changes in the tooling that is in WebSphere Development Studio?
Well, I think certainly the roadmap is you go back to, this kind of ties in a way back to one of those earlier questions, the electronic one that came in, you know, was it a fixed set in concrete with rebars kind of thing? The roadmap will prove to be a dynamic kind of entity. I mean, it will morph over time. It will change as new technologies come into play. It's intended to be a guidepost, not a fixed function kind of thing. And in much the same way, you'll see WebSphere Development Studio. I mean, you saw the advanced edition that we announced last spring, and you'll see us add new function into WebSphere Development Studio. Some of it may be only in the advanced edition as opposed to the base edition, but I think there's no question but what you'll see additional enhancements and changes to WebSphere Development Studio. You'll see us bring in some of the Rational tool set, you know, with the acquisition of Rational last summer and some of the coming together of the what had been WebSphere family of tools with the Rational family of tools. And again, all of it, you know, some of our customers will look at us and say, oh, no, you've renamed everything once again, you've repriced everything once again, you know, you're trying to make life miserable for us. And if that's the impression they get, certainly we'd apologize. That's not our intent. Our intent is to continue to provide the best combination of tooling with the best pricing and bundling that we can from an iSeries perspective so that our customers and our solution providers can move forward into this whole world of e-business as effectively and as price efficiently as possible.
Okay, thank you. Brett, do you have any more questions?
Yes, we have a follow-up question from Don Rima.
Okay, Don.
Doug, you mentioned Rational. Doesn't Rational have a change management suite, and is that one of the ones that will be coming across to iSeries?
Rational does have a whole bunch of the whole AD cycle side of the business. And they had, 2 years ago, I had talked to some of the Rational people at, I guess it was Partner World, and they had plans for bringing some of that, because some of that didn't work on iSeries, and they had plans for bringing it to iSeries in late 2003, but then as the acquisition took place, that kind of went into a back burner as we get all the just the personnel and the organizational things cleared out. But yeah, I don't think there's any question but what you'll end up seeing. It won't all happen in one fell swoop, and it's like anything else, it'll happen in pieces over time, but you'll see the whole Rational suite of tools available on iSeries. I mean, now for change management, though, I mean, even if you're in a hurry and you get it today, there are several tools that are provided by some of our partners, Soft Landings and MKS.
You've done a very good job of name-dropping partners here through the conference. You've done a very good job of name-dropping partner names for the company.
Well, those are the three that when David Slater from the Toronto left, when we started dropping out ADS and ADM years ago, he and I went to those particular vendors and told them what we were going to do and asked them if they would be interested in integrating with the Eclipse Workbench and providing plugins. And all three of those partners were willing to step up and provide those kind of interfaces. And so they have solutions available today. And again, we'll incorporate Rational. We will always continue to incorporate everything we can to try and make the whole AD cycle process more effective for our customers and our ISVs.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Doug. Brett, do you have any more questions?
Not at this point, Malcolm.
I think that's it then. It's about time now, so I think that's all the questions we'll take for today. So it just remains for me to thank you all for being with us today. The next Citizens Chat is in about a month's time. It's on March the 18th, and on that one we've got two people talking. It's Craig Johnson, who will be talking about Linux on iSeries, of course. And the other speaker is also from IBM Dallas, like Doug is when he's not in New Zealand, as John Corantello. And John will be talking about WebSphere Portal Express. As I mentioned at the beginning, there is a new iSeries Nation site that should be going live within a few days. I think it'll be live by the middle of next week. I'm looking at the final draft right now. And that will have an archive section within the chat, and you'll be able to go there to download the presentation and an audio file in multiple formats of each of the chats. And this chat and the one that we did a couple of weeks ago will be in that archive. A chat will appear in the archive at the end of the day in which it went out live. The new site also should be infinitely easier to navigate and contain a lot of extremely useful stuff that you can find immediately. That's the intention. And there'll be a feedback form. So if you don't like anything, just click on that thing and tell us what you think of it. So thank you all very much, and we'll see you again on March the 18th.
That concludes our program. Once again, everyone, thank you for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your day.